The sermon today is based on the continued reading that we heard from June earlier from Ruth chapter 1, verses 6 through 18. Then Naomi started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my wombs that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, as even if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. Thank you, God, for stories of love and loyalty and redemption. Okay, we're at O, and let me clarify right away. Yes, the name is Orpah, not Oprah. I believe the story goes that the TV icon was supposed to be named Orpah, but someone misspelled the name. I keep them straight by remembering that Oprah's name, spelled backwards, is Harpo. Oprah is one of those people whose single name is recognized immediately all over the world. Orpah, not so much. Even here in the scripture, we only see her name mentioned twice, once as the wife of one of Naomi and Elimelech's sons, and we're not told which one, and once again as she kisses Naomi goodbye. Orpah gets a short shrift, not only in the story, but also in the analysis and commentaries about it. While Ruth is held up as a model of love and loyalty, and rightfully so, once Orpah disappears from the story, that's it. She's through. Almost all the speculations about why she didn't stay with Naomi and Ruth disparage her, saying she just couldn't give up the lure of her false Moabite gods, especially Chemosh, the chief god. They say she was fickle about her faith and went right back to her pagan gods as soon as she could. But I don't know, she had been married to her Israelite husband for at least 10 years. Surely during that time, as she watched the family and worshiped with them, surely after all that time, she must have learned about the God of Israel, the God of gods who put Chemosh to shame. Surely the faith that Naomi and Mahlon and Chilion exhibited made an impression on her. And we have to note that Elimelech, the family's patriarch, apparently died before his sons married Orpah and Ruth. So what are they saying, that after 10 years of being influenced by these followers of Yahweh, it all just disappeared and came to nothing? That Orpah just forgot it all and fell back into her old pagan ways just that quickly? What happened? I think Naomi happened. Look at her. When she first decided to return to the land of Judah, having heard that the famine was over, Ruth and Orpah set out with her. Then all of a sudden, Naomi stopped and told the girls to go back home. Just go back and leave her to continue her journey alone. Suddenly, she was overcome by pessimism and bitterness. She's a strange contrast of hope and despair. First, she blessed them, saying, "The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." That's nice and hopeful, believing the young widows would find other husbands. But when they insisted on going forward with her, Naomi went off on an odd tangent. She said she'd never have another husband, and so she'd never be able to provide Orpah and Ruth more sons to marry. And why would they even want to wait for all that to happen? It was a far-fetched scenario. Naomi had all the reasons why they should stay in Moab instead of emphasizing the overarching reasons why they should go to Judah with her. There was bread, and there was God. I think what happened was the next word salad Naomi dropped on the girls. My daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you because the hand of the Lord has turned against me. All these years, while her husband and sons were alive, Naomi was happy and content, living up to the meaning of her name, Pleasant. But now that tragedy has struck, all of a sudden she was on the outs with God, angry and bitter, because to her mind, God had turned against her. What a startling and swift contrast it was. Was Naomi a fair-weather follower? She was no longer pleasant. She no longer wanted to be called Naomi. When she returned to Bethlehem, she changed her name to reflect her new outlook on life. "Call me Mara," she said, which means bitter. As soon as things got rough, Naomi started blaming God. She blamed God for all the horrible things that had happened to her. "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty," she said. We could also remind her that she went away hungry because of the famine, but now she has returned to a land that was feasting again. There was sorrow, yes, but now there was hope. But Naomi wasn't buying it. At any rate, we can relate. We have all faced challenges and obstacles in our lives and wondered about or even raged at the fate we have been dealt. And because we follow God, the same Yahweh that Naomi embraced, we believe God is in charge of everything. So we often ask why hard things happen to us or to those we love, illness, death, hardship. We don't dismiss bitter Naomi for lashing out at God. We've all done it, demanding answers, angry because we have trials and tribulations, upset that life isn't all rainbows and sunshine. We don't chastise Naomi for her honest human emotions. But someone was watching her. Someone was listening to her. And for Orpah, Naomi's sudden change was a turnoff that made her turn back. Orpah, I expect, was frightened, and who wouldn't be? Newly widowed, uncertain, scared, no prospects. And things were rough for widows in those days, left adrift with no man to protect or provide for them. Naomi's attitude wasn't helping things. Despite the ray of hope Naomi projected to them by telling them to go home to their mothers and praying they would eventually find husbands, in reality, it probably wasn't going to be that easy for Orpah and Ruth. They had married strangers, foreigners. They had embraced the puzzling new concept that there was one God over everyone and everything, that they had set aside Chemosh and his cohorts. Would their Moabite friends and families even accept them back after this? Would they want them to come to them with these outrageous ideas in their heads, their disdain of the pagan practices they had given up? Weren't they traitors? Weren't they apostates, leaving their religion to embrace a new one? Other commentators seem to believe, as I said, that the lure of the Moabite gods was just too much for Orpah to resist. I contend again that she was afraid. Afraid of the unknown future and the unknown foreign land of Judah. Would she be accepted there? Would people welcome her? Would some Israelite man see her and like her and come to woo her and marry her? What if she went all that way there and nothing happened and she never remarried and was never accepted as part of that community? There was much to be afraid of. And you know what Orpah was most afraid of? Naomi. Afraid of how quickly she had turned from faith and joy to anger and resentment. Afraid of how adamant she was that God hated her now and how certain she was that God was punishing her. Perhaps Orpah went back to Moab because she wanted to hang on to her faith and not have to listen to Naomi tearing it down. Her diatribes were doing more harm than good. I'm not faulting Naomi for being angry. It's only human. And it's quite okay to question why such things happen and even to scream at God from out of the depths of our despair and doubt. No one's asking Naomi to be uber pious and to ratchet down her rage. But even in her anger, she still acknowledged the existence of God and the power of God. But this 360-degree turn troubled Orpah. This new but not improved Naomi scared her. Was Naomi always going to be so bitter, so hostile against God? How long could Orpah put up with that? Orpah's observation of Naomi's actions affected her deeply. Was God always going to be so capricious, so casually cruel? Orpah had lost one husband. Would she lose another one, even if she found someone who would want to marry her? Naomi's witness was powerful, so powerful that Orpah decided she didn't want to take a chance. It wasn't the pull of the gods of Moab that made Orpah turn around. It was the push of Naomi. Her anger was so strong, Orpah didn't think she could put up with it. Even in our worst moments of pain and uncertainty, and even anger at God, we still have a witness to share. Even when we are despairing and imploding, we can still rely on God to be faithful and caring. We can remember Job's trusting words, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What if Naomi had tempered her tantrum and told Orpah, "Give me a moment. Just let me get this out. I'm not going to stay angry at God for long. I'm not going to be Mara forever. I will become Naomi again and wait on the Lord to see how he will bless me once again." What if she had done that? It would have been a better testimony to her faith in God, a testimony that she believed she would not lament and grieve forever, a faith that God would one day restore her fortunes, which if you read the entire short book of Ruth, you'd see that did indeed happen. Perhaps then Orpah would have chosen to go with her as Ruth did, if only Naomi had been a little less hostile and a little more trusting. It's not to say Orpah wasn't as strong as Ruth or as loyal as Ruth or as courageous as Ruth. It's not a comparison we should make. The two young girls heard different things in Naomi's parting speech. Orpah heard all that grousing and griping. She heard no hope for a change in Naomi's outlook. So she opted to stick to the familiar and return home. We don't know what happened to Orpah once she kissed Naomi goodbye and turned around. What if she went back with her newfound faith in God, the faith unencumbered by Naomi's negativity? And what if she held on to it? What if she told herself, "I won't become bitter. I'll keep trusting God. I have learned well. I know the setback of losing my husband is just a way for God to do more wonderful things with me. I just don't think 10 years of belief and worship and trust and love can just fall by the wayside and be forgotten and forsaken." But we don't know. One tradition says Orpah later became the mother of Goliath. Yes, the very same Goliath that Ruth's great-grandson David conquered. Ruth's story is a big ha to all of Orpah's fears and all of Naomi's bitterness. Ruth's story is heartwarming and romantic, the way she met Boaz, the way they eventually married and Ruth became a mother and an ancestress of Jesus. Yes, part of us says that could have been Orpah. She could have made an impact on the world just as Ruth did. But let's give Orpah the benefit of the doubt. Let's imagine she returned home, but part of her heart was always with the God she had come to know and love and serve. Let's imagine she did make a Goliath difference among her people. Maybe she went back and gathered everyone for the Orpah show, where she shared what she had learned from Naomi, the good stuff, the God stuff, and then surprised everyone by saying, "You get a new God and you get a new God. Everybody gets a new God." We can only hope for Orpah. Let us pray. God, you don't shy away from our anger and bitterness. Help us to have a better witness to all watching us as we face challenges in our lives. We know you love us and care for us, and you're there even when we feel you are far away. In all our darkest moments, may we remember your promise to always be with us wherever we may sojourn. Amen.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Well, every time I look into the holy book, I wanna tremble when I read about the part where the carpenter cleared the temple for the buyers and the sellers who were no different fellas than what I profess to be. It costs me shame to know I'm not the gal that I should be. You put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Mama taught me how to pray before I reached the age of 7. And I'm down on my knees, that's when I'm closest to heaven. Daddy lived his life for 8 kids and a wife. You do what you must do, but he showed me enough of what it takes to get me through. You put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee.